Let's dive in and briefly tell me about your work with the Napoleon Hill Foundation.
Sure, Napoleon Hill had a major impact on my life. First, with Think and Grow Rich when I was 19 years old, just explaining how the universe works and how what we can do, say, think, feel, and believe allows us to achieve whatever we desire and having a definiteness of purpose. And then throughout my career, Napoleon Hill continued to have an impact as I became a licensee of Think and Grow Rich, the movie, Think and Grow Rich, the book, and being able to participate to empower other people with Think and Grow Rich. And in 2011, they published Outwitting the Devil, which even had a greater impact, even though it was written in 1938. This is one of the most well-written, impactful documents, and it does revolve around this boardroom concept of yours, because Napoleon Hill himself has a conversation with the opposition, with negativity, anxiety, and fear. And this conversation is fascinating, and all topics were on the table, which is why it took so long, because he talked about religion, and he talked about education, and he talked about healthcare. He even in 1938 went after the tobacco company, saying that tobacco would have the biggest impact on our health and mindset of anything. And that was not going to be a favorable position back in 1938. But for me and Napoleon Hill, and to be the chairman now of Napoleon Hill Institute, to be able to help other people, impact other people with these great mindset philosophies and theories and practices, has been a godsend and also a great part of my legacy.
That's great. And I love the fact that you're talking about legacy. That's the most important thing we can do in this world. So leaving that legacy and continuing the Napoleon Hill legacy. Wow. What a gift.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. I know that, by reading books like
And Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil. And now I got my own book, Don't Do Business with Dicks, which is removing toxicity as well.
I want a copy.
You got it.
So I know that, by doing all this work, as you said, is built on principles like mindset, belief, and success. I'd like to ask you, what do you think is the most misunderstood principle today when leaders pursue success?
They are pursuing success and think that happiness derives from achieving success, and it doesn't. The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit. And so, what we actually should be looking at as leaders is, I am, not this is what I want people to think I am, not I'll be happy when, but for the sake of what. And so, if we can re-engineer the mindset of our great leaders of, I am happy, what am I doing to interfere with it? I am healthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am wealthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? So, shifting a paradigm, one which requires a philosophy of abundance, that if there is an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite, abundant, unified system of more than enough of everything, intelligence, intuition, inspiration, in all of these things, then we're part of that. And so we must be interfering with it. I talked to you earlier about being at ease and identifying the dis-ease mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We ourselves are reacting and responding with dis-ease to what already is ease, or is everything, or infinite in its nature.
Superb. Love that. Let me ask you also, Napoleon Hill emphasized the power of the mind. Today, we see highly successful people still dealing with internal issues like stress, pressure, which I call anxiety.
Yes.
Where do you think that disconnect comes from?
For me, that interference is how I like to refer to it, comes from understanding the human anatomy, chemistry, and experience. And so for me, uncertainty exists. When we accelerate things as we have through technology, uncertainty accelerates as well. So we have a flood of information that is full of uncertainty. And because there's so much information, it creates even more uncertainty. When you only had three TV channels, there was less uncertainty compared to 3,000 places of data, because now you have all these varying different degrees. So when uncertainty happens, the human anatomy and chemistry literally responds naturally to fear, to uncertainty. And this is anxiety. And what happens is when we respond with anxiety to uncertainty, we have a projection of a need to be right or offended or separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, worried. These are all things that are interfering with our potential, with our ease. They actually are creating dis-ease. And so if we can start practicing, looking for the clues of our response to our reaction to uncertainty, if we can start seeing the patterns of genetic and energetic inheritance of how we respond to the reaction of uncertainty, then we can start shortening the distance of resistance that we create in our lives. And it's actually time that I use to quantify how we spend our emotions. Are we spending the majority of our time at dis-ease or at ease? I tell people all the time, the two things I quantify for progress in my life, in the human experience, not the infinite, is how much time am I spending each day interfering with my potential? How much time am I angry, worried, upset, resentful, guilty, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, or angry? And I can easily shorten that distance by, when I'm angry, just stop, breathe, drop down to center. I call it reminding, remembering, recollecting with your God. What, you know, when you think of the word remember, what do you think you're remembering with or reminding with? With your God. Then you can roll in your divine direction. See, what happens is when we respond to that uncertainty and natural reaction, we create more anxiety, fear, and anger by accelerating in the wrong direction. And some people try to out-logic it. You know better than me as a doctor. You cannot out-logic emotion, right? You went to medical school or to get your PhD. I went to law school. You know how many nights I went to bed saying, let it go, and woke up saying, let it go? Because logic doesn't help. You can't go over it, under it, through it, around it, out-logic it, analyze it. You can't lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, or deny it. You just stop, breathe, drop, remember, remind, recollect, and then roll into your divine direction.
Mm-hmm. That's true. What tools, what specific exercises, activities would you suggest to complete this work?
I have 5 daily practices. And if anyone in your community would like to get my book or my 5 daily practices, I will send it for free. I'll sign my book, pay for shipping, pay for the book. Great. Don't worry. My email's right there, david@dmeltzer.com. Just put it in the notes. But these 5 daily practices will change your life. The number one practice is knowing your what. What do you want today, according to the circumstances of the day, in alignment with where you think you want to be, and then align the meaning of the past as well. So you see, so many people give the wrong meaning to the failures, setbacks, mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances, and they limit their self-image. They limit their self-image by giving the wrong meaning to the past, and they'll never overachieve their own self-image. So I teach people to know their what in their divine direction and align the meaning of the past. The second practice, know your who. Who can you help and who can help you? The fastest way to get to where you want to be is to find someone that's already there, like you, Dr. Carlo, that can give people directions to peace and ease, and then help other people. Those are the two fastest ways to get to where you want to be. The third one is know your how. So know, time. How are you spending your time doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in alignment with where you want to be? Have non-negotiable behaviors every day, 7 days a week. Mine are sleep, health, family, faith, finance, the study of time, and the study of relativity of that time. That equals about 12 hours a day, no matter what the circumstances are, the weather, the interest rates, the delays, the arguments. It doesn't matter. I'm getting my sleep, my family, my health, my faith, my finance, the study of time and study of relativity every single day. And it leaves about 12 hours of awake time to do whatever I want, according to the circumstance. Do you know how much ease that gives me that I have 12 hours a day, knowing that my productivity, accessibility, and gratitude are taken care of because of my non-negotiable behavior 7 days a week? And location is arbitrary and capricious. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm at a vacation spot or if I'm in a library or a business meeting. As long as I'm getting my non-negotiable behaviors in, my health and sleep and family and faith and finance and study of time and study of relativity, it doesn't matter about the other 12 hours. All I'm doing is taking the circumstances and prioritizing by what, who, and how. And that prioritization allows me to get rid of anxiety, because it is the lack of prioritization that causes us to feel overwhelmed. If you prioritize, if you know what to do now and don't know what to do next, it literally is impossible to be anxious or overwhelmed because you're in action. And action is the response to emotion, not logic and analysis, not overwhelmed thinking or procrastination. These are the devil's workshop. These are the places where the anxiety grows. It doesn't shrink.
One thing that you mentioned about taking action, I believe that when you take action, you put yourself in a position of control. You move your life. You move the result of whatever challenges you're going through. So it's important to take action. Now, I'd like to ask you, David, what's the definition for you of success?
Success is the ability to enjoy the consistent everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of my potential. So if I was able each and every day to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of what I want, not what other people want, what's missing and what we don't have, not what social media shows us, but true success is being able to enjoy our daily behaviors in the pursuit of our best and hopefully help other people along the way. So instead of saying, I'll be happy when this happens, that is not success. But for the sake of my family, my community, the country, the world, this is true success if we can enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of that for the sake of others.
Beautiful, beautifully said. And David, going into your own life, I'd like to ask you, in your life, has there been a point where there's been a cost, a price that you paid for the success, for building your coaching business, for building the life that you've created? And how did you manage? How do you realize that there was this, let's say, this parish, and that you needed to work on getting back on track?
Yeah. So for me, absolutely. That had occurred. I was trying to fill a God-sized hole in my life with everything but God. And my identity was directly correlated to the amount of money I had. So at one time, I was worth over $100 million. I was running the most notable sports agency in the world. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about my sports agency.
And, oh, that was your agency. Wow. Yeah,
they had access to what billionaires could afford. And I never was more unhappy. And it took my wife, who one evening after lying to her and coming home at 5:30 in the morning, told me I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, or I was going to end up dead. And she was not going to stay with my three daughters to see this. My initial reaction, as it was to my mom, my dad, and my best friend, who all told me very similar things, that I was lost and they were worried that I was not spending my time with the right people or the right ideas. But in the morning when I woke up and realized I hate my mom, I hate my dad, I hate my best friend, and I hate my wife, the only four people who truly love me, I realized I hate myself. I realized I was the liar, the cheater, the manipulator, the overseller, the back-end seller. And so I took stock in who I was that day, 20 years ago, took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. I looked at the values of gratitude and forgiveness and accountability and effective communication to utilize in those five daily practices that we went over today, to live inspired in spirit. And through that journey, I ended up losing everything I had, not my wife, but over $100 million and went bankrupt. And utilizing the new mindset, the new tools, Napoleon Hill and many other great mentors of mine. Today, 20 years later, I'm on a mission to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun and empower others to do so, to change the world by making a lot of money, helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. And I'm glad to say that here I am 20 years later. I've made more money than I ever have. I help more people than I ever dreamed of. And I have more fun than I can imagine.
Wow. So at one point, what was failure became a blessing.
With faith, the thing missing in my life, like I said, once I realized there was something bigger than me, that I wasn't being punished, that I was protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by God, no matter what the evidence presented itself as, that's what guided me.
Wow, powerful. And David, would you say that you had to gain self-acceptance, leave out judgment in order to do this transformation?
Absolutely. Forgiveness is a practice of mine. I have studied the Course in Miracles for over 10 years. Yeah. And forgiving myself so I can forgive others, to live in humility. You know, my mom had this wonderful quote that she reiterated. She raised six kids on her own, worked two jobs. And as my success grew, she would say to me, David, you're either humble or you're about to be. And that idea, when I lost everything, including my mom's home, I remember telling my mom, God is punishing me. She said, God does not punish. He promotes, protects, loves, and perfects you. You need to figure out this. You got to figure out how he's doing this, David. I said, well, I don't believe in God. And she said, oh, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. Mm-hmm. You're either humble or you're about to be. And for over 20 years now, I've been in the pursuit of my potential to help others to create abundance and change the world.
Powerful, powerful. If someone feels like what you just shared resonates, what message would you give to someone that's feeling run down, that right now is going through maybe what we traditionally call failure? How can they begin to stand up? Or if they're doing well with their business, what would you advise them so that they don't run into a divorce, into their wife, telling them, hey, you need to change, otherwise you're going down? Or as I tell my clients, you know, you are having financial success, but the way I see it, in 2 years or even less, you're going to die of a heart attack, your spouse is going to abandon you, you're losing your family. So given that, you open up, you share how you actually had to go through that in order to come fine in the other side, what would you tell people that say, hey, this resonates with me, so that they don't have to go through the pain that you had to go through, David?
Yeah, well, no matter what, you're going to have to go through pain, because going from A to B is still a private lesson between you and God. Now, mentors and teachers and coaches will help accelerate that for you and lessen the struggle and the pain. But I just want to be honest, the best piece of advice that I can give you is, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Whether you're on top of the world or you feel you are at the basement, look around you. Make sure that you have people surrounding you that are in a position that you want to be in someday, no matter how high or how low you are. Mm-hmm. And also make sure there's people around you that you could help get to where they want to be, no matter how high or how low you are. You know, a lot of people come to me for coaching and mentorship, and they may be unemployed, having hard times, and they'll say, well, you know, what's the first thing I should do? I go, go volunteer. Yeah, but I'm looking for a job. I said, oh, I know. But the best thing you can do is go volunteer. Go help someone else and watch how God delivers you options and opportunities and touches a favor. Way more than sending 100 resumes. Go out there, surround yourself with the right people. Remember, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
I totally agree. And when you give from yourself, That's the way that you insert yourself into abundance.
Beautiful.
So great, great, great thing. So, David, I want to honor your trust this time for this podcast. I want to want your new book, Don't Do Business With This. Love the title. And definitely, if people listening and watching this podcast want to get information from you, want to join you, want to have your services, how can they do so?
Reach directly out to me at my email, david@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. david@dmeltzer.com. Let me be your beloved servant. Remember to be kind to your future self and do good deeds. God bless everyone. Thank you, Carlo. We look forward to doing more with you.